So imagine that a drunk driver hits you and it crushes your leg, and you're completely traumatized by the event. And they take you to the hospital, and just before your operation, they give you a pill to erase your memory of this traumatic event. Or imagine that you're a fellow soldier, and your soldier and your fellow soldier gets blown up next to you, and you're very traumatized. And again, they give you a pill to reduce the trauma of this particular event. Or imagine that you're a heroin addict, and they give you a drug so that you can forget about your addiction in order to help you with your addiction. Sounds like something from a movie. Well, actually, we're getting pretty close to be able to do some of these things. So this is what we know now and what we can do now. Basically, memory is a system for storing and recalling experiences. Our best account of memory right now is as follows. Basically, we experience certain events, and a network of neurons get activated. The more significant the event, the stronger the connections between the neurons. When we recall that particular event, these neurons get the, that network, that particular network gets reactive, get reactivated again. And so this is what we can do to modify our memories. One is we can affect it at the storage level, when it's about to get stored, when it's about to get transferred from short-term memory to long-term memory. And the way to do that is to affect the emotional strength of the storing process. So for example, propranolol, the drug, that's how it works. It works by weakening that storage process, weakening the emotional strength so that the memory doesn't get stored into the long-term memory. The other process is it's by affecting the recall of the memory. Basically, each time you recall a memory, the memory has to reconsolidate itself again, and it needs proteins to do that. And it's been found that if there's excess protein, that can disrupt the reconsolidation process, thereby weakening the memory. The biggest limitation to memory modification right now is that basically, as we have seen, that memory is a network of neurons. So that means that basically it's interconnected and it overlaps with one another, so that there's a danger that if you delete one, you can delete other memories. So that's one of the biggest limitations right now. So suppose you can perfect this technology, what are some of the ethical issues? Well, basically, memory is a piece of evidence. So if you change your memory, you can change what you believe to be true about the world and about yourself. So for example, a soldier who takes propranolol, he may think that he really doesn't want to be in a war, when in fact he lusts after the killing. Or you may believe something about yourself. You may think that you're really brave or cowardly, or you may think that you're really altruistic or selfish. But if you take some memory modification drugs, you may change what you believe to be true about yourself. But these problems are not so worrying, because one thing to remember is that a bit of falsehood might not be so problematic. So if you wanted to believe that you had a nice holiday so that you can feel more relaxed, that may be okay as long as you don't harm anybody. Another thing to remember is that if the event is so important, it's not really just up to you, because even if you can erase the memory in yourself, other people will remember it. So even if it affects a bit of falsehood in you, it might not affect other people as well. Okay, so ultimately, the point of using these drugs is to increase our personal well-being. Now, there are some obvious constraints to pursuing personal well-being. One obvious constraint is to sort of harm to others. If you want to take these drugs so that you can feel less guilty when you commit a crime, obviously this would constitute a harm to others. Another constraint is harm to self. An obvious example of that is if you just wipe all of your memories. That would be, in many cases, that would be obvious harm to self. But there are also subtler forms of harm to self, self-harm, such as living in falsehood, affecting your the way you react to certain situations morally, and also your duties to remember certain things. But ultimately, it seems that as long as you don't harm other people, you should be allowed to use these memory modification drugs in order to improve your personal well-being. Well, you saw how they zap it, right? So basically the whole network. I think you're zapping the whole network. And that's going to be pretty difficult without zapping other memories. But the way to do it, I think, is basically if you can get the right cues, because basically you cue the memory. So if you can cue it right, then only those networks come up and then you zap that, then I think you can do it. And actually there's some evidence of doing that. If you look at fMRI machines, it seems like through correlations, they can begin to figure out which part is, you know, what people are thinking or what they're, you know, like when they're imagining playing tennis, et cetera, certain parts of the brain lights up. And it seems like if you can get enough consistency, enough of a correlation that this is that particular memory, then maybe you can begin to do that. But you'd have to do that many times and get a lot of correlation and stuff like that. I think that would be the way to go.